Open your Bibles here this morning to Matthew chapter 13 as we continue our study in the Kingdom Parables. And this is part three. And we've looked at two previous parables, and we find ourselves in verse 31 here this morning. And parable of the mustard seed. Follow along as I read here in verse 31. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, is the greatest among herbs, and becometh as a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, and Father, thank you for scripture that we hold in our hands, the living word of God that's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And Father, I thank you that we can study it here this morning, and I pray that the Holy Spirit would illuminate your word to our hearts. God, help me be a vessel that honors your Son and your word here today for your glory. So, Lord, bless us as we gather around your word. And, Father, we look to thee for the increase. Lord, we know one sows and another waters, but, Lord, you give the increase. So, bless your word to our hearts here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. you know, we all have valuable things that we treasure. And concerning the parables here, to set a little backdrop here, I remember years ago we were reading Little House on the Prairie books. You remember those? Ingrid Wilder and Laura Wilder and Laura Ingrid Wilder. And there was a little story in there one time where she had a little rag doll, and she gave it to, I think it was Nellie maybe. I'm going back a lot of years now, so I don't get some of these details right. But she gave her little rag, meant so much to her, but she gave her little doll to her friend. And a course of time went by, and one day, little Laura was out playing, and she saw her rag doll in the mud at her neighbor's. And it just went, oh, to her. Because that little rag doll meant everything to her as a child. And she gave something that was so precious to her to bless her friend. And her friend didn't care anything about it and just eventually ended up in the mud. And she retrieved it out of the mud and cleaned it up. And you know, sometimes we have things that are so precious. Now, in a child's eyes, a little rag doll can mean everything. But as we get older, sometimes our toys get a little more expensive. And, you know, if we had, if we had a nice new pickup truck, you wouldn't let your neighbor's dog sit in your pickup truck and make a doghouse out of it, would you? That wouldn't happen, would it? Because what would that dog do to your nice truck? Just tear it up. It wouldn't care about your truck. You know, some things are valuable to us, and we hold on to those things because we don't want something to come along and take what's valuable to us and just throw it in the dirt or tear it up. You know, when Jesus told these parables, the atmosphere around him was getting a little tense. He spoke very plainly of the teaching and the Beatitudes, the kingdom of God. But as time wore on, the resistance started to increase. He said, okay. He said, for those that have a heart to hear, I got a word for you, but if you don't have a heart to hear what I'm saying, it's going to be hidden to you. And so these parables that he told, they're an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. He told the first parable here about the sower and the four different soils. And as he told these parables, they had a certain purpose that they were being told for. Because the kingdom of God, now the disciples were wanting the kingdom of God to come. They had the Romans ruling over them, and this kingdom of God they were looking for because Messiah would rule and reign, and everything would be good, and they were looking for this to happen. Well, Jesus wanted people to know about the kingdom of God and how it was going to unfold, what God's plan was, and you know God, how he feels about his plans and his thoughts and his actions, they're precious to him. And Jesus even went so much as to say, don't cast your pearls before swine, lest they turn and rend you and trample them in the mud. Now, a pearl is something that was very precious. And when it comes to God's truth and God's word, God wants us to have a heart. Because in verse 9 he says, who hath an ears to hear, let him what? Let him hear. He wants us to hear what he's saying. And the people that don't have an ear to hear, it just goes right by them. They don't get it because they didn't want to know. Now, the four soils of the heart, as speaking of God's kingdom, he's looking out on the world, and the sower is the Lord Jesus. He's sowing the good seed. And it's some takes the good soil, takes a seed, it grows, matures, you got a harvest, great fruit, some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. But there's some soil that was packed down, and the fowls came by and devoured. Others came on stony place, had a little soil and some stone, and when it sprung up, had no depth of earth, when the sun came up, it was scorched. And some fell among thorns, the cares of this world, and sprung up and it choked them. You know, he talked about the soil of the heart because he wanted his disciples to understand that these soils of the heart have a huge impact on how God's word's going forth. It's going forth, but the soil of the heart and how people receive it. Well, then he deals in the second parable about the righteous and the unrighteous, those that are good and those that are evil, dwelling together. And he made it very clear that God wasn't going, this kingdom time, going to come down and take all wicked people away, because, like we looked at before, Saul of Tarsus, you would have said of him, he's a tear at one point in his life. You would have said, there's no hope for this man. And yet he was a wheat. And God needed time for that tear to become a wheat. So the good and evil are going to grow up in this present age of kingdom. So how do we understand the world we live in? We see God's plan that the harvest is going to come at the end of the age, not in the beginning. Well, he told those parables there. And then we get into this third and fourth parable. And these are connected together, these two parables. Now, with these two parables, he gave the interpretation of the tares and the wheat. He gave us that interpretation. But in this interpretation here, or the mustard seed and the parable 11, he doesn't give us the interpretation. So we're left to our own understanding and the Word of God and the Spirit of God to help us give us understanding here. Well, let's just look at this parable here that he told. Why did he tell this parable? He wants to teach a principle of the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God includes the people of God. You have a king, that's God. You have a kingdom, that's the people in the kingdom. And how does this kingdom operate? How does a king operate? How does the kingdom operate, the people in the kingdom? What does he expect? And he's trying to cast alongside these spiritual truths. So a parable, he's just putting this alongside of it. This is the truth, but this is a parable to help you understand this truth here. So within this parable here, he wants to teach us something here. Well, let's just look at the parable. Another parable he put forth on them, saying, he wants to teach us, the kingdom of heaven is likened to grain of a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is least of all seeds. Now, let's just talk about this mustard seed for a minute. Some people have taken this parable and attacked the divinity of Jesus, the integrity of Scripture, and the knowledge of God in this verse. Because they say the mustard seed is not the smallest seed. Is that true or not? It's not the smallest seed in the world. But you've got to look at this verse for what it says, because he's not saying that. Some people have tried to find fault with Jesus. Read what it says. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field, which is indeed least of all seeds. When it is grown, it's the greatest among, what's that next word? Herbs. Where do you grow herbs at? In your garden. Okay? Now, in this area of the world, that when it says grow herbs, that was referring to a man's garden. That word herbs there talks about a garden place that you grew food to eat. And herbs were used in the process of food. So this was in a garden type setting here. Now when he spoke to these people here, it was something that these were Jewish people. They were well familiar with growing herbs. They were well familiar with the mustard seed. And for people to try to take it down a different road, they're not treating the text correctly, because he already defines herbs here as a man's garden and becometh when it's sown. So with that kind of behind us, some people get so stuck on that they can't even read what he's trying to say here or hear it. That is not the point of what Jesus is trying to say here, talking about the size of a seed. The kingdom of heaven is likened to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took, sowed in his field. All right, man has a field, he sowed the mustard seed because he wanted to grow this herb or this plant to enhance his garden. So as he's growing this, he takes a small seed and plants. Now, look at the result in verse 32, which indeed is least of all seeds. It's very small and insignificant. But when it is grown, is the greatest among herbs in your garden. This is going to be the biggest plant, herb-bearing plant that you've got in your garden, the greatest among herbs. And it becometh so much, it looks like a tree because in height. Now, they'll grow from 10, 12, some even 15 feet high in times. And in a garden, that's quite large to have in your garden. So that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, he told this parable. Now, how can we work through? What is the application? What is the teaching in that parable? Now, he's trying to teach about what? The kingdom of God. What is God's kingdom going to be like? How many disciples were there originally? 12. Does that sound like a mighty army? Would you like to conquer the world with just 12 men? How much do you think you'd be successful in taking on your message to the world with just 12 men? And within those 12 men, one was Simon Peter. And this man, Simon Peter, when Jesus was on trial, a little maid girl come up and said to him, you're one of them. And what did he say? No, I'm not. I don't know the man. How about that kind of person to build your kingdom on? Would you want to recruit somebody that has that type of courage? I don't think so. Now, a mustard seed is something pretty small and insignificant. Now, he's talking about God's kingdom here. But what is Jesus saying in this parable? He's saying something so small and insignificant can be planted, and in the process of time, it grows into something so big. God's kingdom is going to be like that. Now, where has this... Now, when he said this, I was thinking about this. There have been men throughout history, whether it was Napoleon or Adolf Hitler or Stalin, or men that have wanted to conquer the world. And they boast about great things, how they're going to conquer the world. But guess what? Their kingdoms come and go. 2,000 years later, now Jesus said, in this parable, what started insignificant is going to become huge. If you went to your radio and you wanted to find a Christian radio station, how long would it take you to find one? Not very what? Not very long. Could you find two or three or four? What if you went on the internet and you wanted to find some Christian teaching? I want to learn, type in the Bible. How many milliseconds does it take something to come up? Boom. You know, they'll see with search and they'll have like, you know, 100,000 results in 0.00 seconds. You know, it's like amazing. You know, God's kingdom has filled what? The earth today. You name a country where the Bible isn't at least known about. Do you know what I'm saying? You go all around the world, it's known everywhere. What started off insignificant has filled the whole earth. When you're talking about the integrity of Scripture, instead of this being a verse that people say, well, you know, the mustard seed's not the smallest seed in the world, and people take Jesus to task for that, but it's like there's an elephant in the room. Don't you see what these verses are saying? He's saying, I'm going to take these 12 disciples and I'm going to turn the world upside down with them. And that's what's happened. You know, Napoleon thought he was going to conquer the world. It didn't happen. Adolf Hitler thought he was going to conquer the world. It didn't happen. How did Jesus fill the whole earth with his teaching? Was it built on violence and sword? Or was it built on truth and love? In God's word. See, he conquered the world. In that sense, he filled the whole world. What was so insignificant has happened. People don't realize that the amazing thing about the Bible, Jesus said, this scripture is going to go all around the world to the ends of the earth, and it's going to happen. Do you see that happening? I see it happening. Does that speak to integrity of Scripture? That speaks to the integrity of Scripture. Now, what's an application we can make from that? You may seem very small and insignificant in your life to yourself. You may look at yourself and say, I'm just one among so many. What am I? But if God plants you in good soil and God through His Word and His Spirit works in your life, you can become something that is great in God's kingdom. God can take what is insignificant and with His blessing, make it significant and have a blessing to many people. And God isn't limited by the beginning. See, it's not like these 12 apostles thought, we're going to turn the world upside down. Before they got a handle on the resurrection of Christ, they were behind what kind of doors? Open doors or locked doors? Why were they locked? They were scared to death. They might come after us. We're going to lock this door, at least they get us. Does that sound like the kind of army that's going to conquer the world? No, it doesn't. But after the day of Pentecost, and God's Spirit came down upon them, and Peter was a new man, and he stood on that and spoke to those people, and God's power was there, and 3,000 got saved. That mustard seed. Can God take something insignificant and change people's lives with? Absolutely. In this parable here, Jesus is speaking of God's kingdom and the people in His kingdom, that He can use those which seem insignificant, and it can grow to be something great for His kingdom. So that becomes, the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. Now, these mustard seeds as it grows, the birds lodging in the branches, what do the birds mean? Well, again, this is, He doesn't give the interpretation, so where what are we left to work with? Our own interpretation. What does that mean? Well, you live your Christian life like in America here. When we were in our nation for 180 years, we used to teach the ABCs to our children. A, all is sin and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord. That's how they learned their alphabet. We honor God's word. Our nation was blessed. We had unbelievers in our nation, but guess what? They got the blessing, the overflow of the blessings of the teachings of Christ and God's people in that kingdom. They were blessed. And, you know, the mustard tree with its seed and there in the tree and the birds building their nest, they were able to live off of the mustard tree seeds as they lived there in their nest. And many people were blessed because of what had grown. This is a good parable for us to understand how God's kingdom is going to work. Because insignificance does not mean nothing, that God can't do something in my life. One plus God is a majority. And when God begins something in our life, He can use us when we may see like we can't do it, but with God's power and His blessing, we can do great things for God. Well, look at the next parable here as it ties in, verse 33. Another parable spake in again. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. What is he teaching here? Well, let's look at this parable, take it apart. Kingdom of heaven, again, he's talking about how is God's kingdom working? How is the king directing his kingdom? How are the servants, people in his kingdom living? What does he expect from us? Well, leaven. Now, leaven. And the yeast and the leaven, when you put that in there, it helps the bread to ferment and it helps it to rise, and we enjoy bread that's soft and good to eat. Unleavened bread is hard and it's not very chewable as much as bread that has been leavened. Now, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Now, what is the leaven referring to? Now, in Scripture, oftentimes, leaven can refer to, turn here to 1 Corinthians, verse 7, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. let's just back up a verse here. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens a whole lump? Purge out the old leaven, that it may grow a new lump. As ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sanctified for us. And again, in this passage here, leaven is referred to something evil. Verse 8, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with unleavened of bread and sincerity and truth. K- Can leaven be a picture of sin, wickedness? Absolutely. When they ate the Passover meal, were they to eat leavened bread or unleavened bread? Unleavened, because in Scripture, leaven is often a picture of evilness, wickedness, and corruption. Well, now, as we read verse 33, can we take that image and put it into this verse? I'm not sure that's what the verse here is explaining here. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took. Is it speaking of evil? I don't think so. I take it in verse 33 as it's speaking to something that's silently working underneath the surface in the hearts of men and women in the world. I take this, the kingdom of heaven is not something evil, so I don't think Jesus would use something as leaven as a picture of something evil at this point. But I think what he's speaking of, the leaven here is working silently in the hearts of people. Now, when you get saved, can somebody see on the inside what God did in your heart? No, they can't tell. You look just the same on the outside as you did the day before you got saved. It's an internal work. So what is the leaven speaking here in God's kingdom? See, verse 31 and 32, that's external. The church is growing, people are getting saved, the world is the kingdom of God is growing all around the world, people are responding. That's external. But how does the kingdom of God work? It's internal. It affects the attitudes, it affects your desires, it affects your worship, it affects your beliefs. It affects all these internal things, what you're to love, what you're not to love, all these internal things. Now, when you put leaven into bread and you have that ball of dough there, can you see the leaven working in it? Can you watch it work? It's internal. Now, you can see it expanding over time. That's external. But internally, when it's all mixed in there, can you see it working? No. When somebody reads a word of God and God convicts them of a sin, they feel that on the inside. And that's God's leaven working on the inside. You know how you can tell if somebody's part of God's kingdom? Because when that word of God is working in their hearts, and God tells them something, and they're convicted, and they respond to that conviction, and they, by obedience and submission to God's word, they say, Lord, you're right, I'm wrong, I'm sorry, I'm going to change my life, I'm going to do what's right. And I remember a man one time, and he was a drinking man, and he told me a story. He said, when I got saved, he said, I looked at my liquor cabinet, and I said to myself, that's not good. And he told me he took all of his liquor bottles and poured them right down the drain. Poured them all down. Because he said, that's not good. Because he said, there's so much sin that's happened because of that liquor in that cabinet. When he got saved, God said to him, clean your house out. Get rid of this stuff that causes you and others to sin. He just poured it right down the drain. That was that leaven working on the inside. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. It's internal. How does God's kingdom work? It's working in people's lives. It changes them from the inside out. Which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. How much of God's heart does he want of you? So you want half a heart? So you want part of your life? How much, when the bread dough got the yeast put in there, the leaven, how much did it permeate? Every bit of it. Every bit of that. How much does God want in your heart? Every bit of it. What is God's kingdom like? He wants your heart to be totally consecrated to God. The whole was leavened, every bit of it. As I read this parable here, what stands out to me is the kingdom of heaven, this leaven, which a woman hid, it's internal. You can't see it, but it's changing. Leavened bread and unleavened bread, if you put them right beside, is there a difference? If you put an unsaved person and a saved person beside each other, should there be a difference? There should be a difference. Not always, but there should be a difference. And between leavened bread and unleavened bread, there's a difference. And God's saying, if you're part of my kingdom and you're part of my working and I'm working in your heart, I want all of you. All of you is going to be sanctified for me. All of you is going to be given to me. All of you is going to be changed till the whole was leavened. That's what the kingdom of heaven's like. It's external. It's like planting a seed and you're having this mustard plant grow. It's internal. It's leaven. It's working in a man and in a woman's heart. You know, verse 31, a man took. Verse 33, a woman took. You know, God's kingdom's for all. God's working externally, God's working internally, but His kingdom is growing and changing and affecting people's lives. With that being said, if you were just to stand back and look at these two parables, what is Jesus saying here? He's saying His kingdom is moving forward. Now, I heard a preacher say this one time to his church. He said either get in or get out or get run over. And what was he saying? If you're going to be in God's kingdom, be all there. Be there. Be in God's kingdom. Let's do this thing. And let the church be moving in such a way that don't be standing still, because other people moving for God's kingdom is going to run you over. We want that type of attitude that we're moving forward for God's kingdom. This mustard seed, which Jesus Christ said, these 12 apostles are going to build the church that's going to go around the world. And in these days, we can see that scripture translations going all around the world. We can see the Word of God going all around the world. Bible translations, Bibles in all the world. That great tree is growing. But internally, the kingdom of heaven's like leaven, changing people's lives. I heard a man say it like this one time. When a person, regeneration always produces sanctification. And where there's no sanctification, often there's no regeneration. What does that mean? It means if you're saved, you're going to have some point in your life, you're going to start living sanctified. You're going to be moving closer to God. If you're not moving closer to God and you're not desiring the things of God, then it's probably you better look at your regeneration if there's no sanctification. And this leaven that's working in verse 33 is something that's happening in the hearts and lives of the kingdom men and women, that their lives are being changed so the whole was leavened into the image of Christ. That, to me, is what that parable is saying there. It's going to affect the whole life internally, internally. Verse 34, and all these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables. Without parables spake he not to them, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Anybody know where that was quoted from? Verse 35, that's Psalm 78. Let's just turn there for a moment, Psalm 78. Because these Jewish people, when he quoted that, they were well familiar with Psalm 78, because that was spoke of their history as a Jewish nation. And Psalm 78, verse 1 says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in parables, and I will utter dark sayings of old. When Jesus was speaking in the New Testament, quoting the Old Testament about Psalm 78, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us, will not hide them from our children, showing to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and the wonderful works that He has done. You know, the Jewish people, as you read Psalm 78, what does it talk about? It talks about a people, God did this for them in Egypt, and they worshiped their idols. God did this for them and delivered them, they turned from God. God did good to them, they did evil. You read Psalm 78, that goes right down, boom, 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 their whole history of what and how the Jewish people lived. And when he quoted that over here in Matthew chapter 13, verse 35, these Jewish people, they knew right where he was going in Psalm 78, because Jesus wanted them to understand that these truths that they were hearing were important truths, because what you don't want to hear, you don't want to end up like the children of Israel did, that in verse 31, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. And for all this, they sin still and believe not his wondrous works. You don't want to be like that. And why does he open these dark parables? Because these spiritual truths are so rich and so deep and so precious to God that He wants people to have a heart to hear Him. You want to hear Him? They're there. If you don't want to hear Him, they're going to go right by you. And who's the loss? You are, not God. You're the loser if you don't embrace and have an ear to hear. And Jesus Christ, when He quoted that, He was going to Psalm 78. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. You know, these apostles, they were trying to figure out the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God. How is it working? How is it working? And He was trying to explain them through these parables how God's kingdom works. So let's have an ear to hear. Verse 43 says, "Who hath ears to hear, let him hear." Let's pray here this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, as we've looked at these two parables here this morning, Lord, Your kingdom started out so insignificant. Who would have thought in the land of Israel that one rabbi with 12 apostles could turn the world upside down? But that's exactly what happened, God. As Your word said, it started out small and insignificant, but it grew to great proportions, Your kingdom on earth here. And Father, as the leaven in the kingdom of God, how it permeated and changed what it touched, may Your word change us, God, and permeate every fiber of our being, God, that we'd be transformed by the renewing of our mind and our wills, that we'd be conformed to the image of Christ. Father, help us to hate sin. God forbid that we should continue in sin after our Lord has died for our sins. God, may we be sanctified and holy vessels for Thee, fit and ready for the Master's use. Lord, thank You for these parables. God, may we not just casually glance at them, but we meditate on them. And may You give us ears to hear, God, what You say. Because a true ear will walk in true obedience to You, God. So bless this word to our hearts, Father, and encourage us in the things of Christ. We'll give You thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.